Chapter 61. It has just reached me from the other side. Can it be true?
Third guest, I think it probable. He has been very ill all week.
Prince Regent, dead?
Then my fate is spoiled, by God.
Sheridan, long live the king.
He holds up his glass and bows to the regent.
Marchioness of Hartford, the new favorite.
To the regent,
the news is more natural than the moment of it. It is too cruel to you that it should happen now.
Prince Regent, damn me though, can it be true?
He provisionally throws a regal air into his countenance.
Duchess of York, on the regent's left, I hardly can believe it. This forenoon he was reported mending.
Duchess of Angoulême,
on the regent's right,
on this side they are asserting that the news is false that Buonaparte's child, the King of Rome, is dead,
and not your royal father, sire.
Prince Regent, that's mighty fortunate.
Had it been true, I should have been abused by all the world, the queen, the keenest of the chorus. Too though I have been postponing this pledged feast through days and weeks, in hopes the king would mend, till expectation fusted with delay. But give a dog a bad name or a prince.
So, then, it is new come King of Rome who has passed, or ever the world has welcomed him.
Call him a king, that pompous upstart's son beside a scion of the ancient lines.
Duke of Bedford, I think that rumor untrue also, sir.
I heard it as I drove up from Wabern this evening, and it was contradicted then.
Prince Regent drove up this evening, did he, Duke?
Why did you cut it so close?
Duke of Bedford, well, it so happened that my sheep shearing dinner was fixed for this very day, and I couldn't put it off. So I dined with them there at 1 o'clock, discussed the sheep, rushed off, drove the 2 and 40 miles, jumped into my clothes at my house here, and reached your Royal Highness's door in no very bad time.
Prince Regent, capital, capital.
But, upon my soul, 'twas a close shave.
Soon the babbling and glittering company rise from supper, and begin promenading through the rooms and tents, the regent setting the example, and mixing up and talking unceremoniously with his guests of every degree. He and the group round him disappear into the remoter chambers, but may concentrate in the Grecian hall, which forms the foreground of the scene, whence a glance can be obtained into the ballroom, now filled with dancers. The band is playing the tune of the season, the Regency hornpipe, which is danced as a country dance by some 30 couples, so that by the time the top couple have danced down the figure they are quite breathless. 2 young lords talk desultorily as they survey the scene.
First Lord, are the rumors of the King of Rome's death confirmed?
Second Lord, no. But they are probably true. He was a feeble brat from the first. I believe they had to baptize him on the day he was born. What can one expect after such presumption calling him the new Messiah, and God knows what all? Ours is the only country which did not write fulsome poems about him.
Ice English.
The Tsar Alexander said dryly when he heard it.
First Lord, the affection between that Pompey and Caesar has begun to cool. Alexander's soreness at having his sister thrown over so cavalierly is not salved yet.
Second Lord, there is much beside. I'd lay a guinea there will be war between Russia and France before another year has flown.
First Lord, Prinny looks a little worried tonight.
Second Lord, yes. The Queen don't like the fate being held, considering the King's condition. She and her friend say it should have been put off altogether. But the Princess of Wales is not troubled that way. Though she was not asked herself, she went wildly off, and bought her people new gowns to come in.
Poor maladroit woman!
Another new dance of the year is started, and another long line of couples begin to foot it.
That's a pretty thing they are doing now. What do you call it?
First Lord, speed the plow. It is just out. They are having it everywhere. The next is to be one of those foreign things in 3/8 time they call waltzes. I question if anybody is up to dancing them here yet.
Pete the Plow is danced to its conclusion, and the band strikes up the Copenhagen Waltz.
Spirit ironic, now for the wives.
They both were tearing hither, unless reflection sped them back again. But dignity that nothing else may bend succumbs to woman's curiosity, so deem them here. Messengers, call them nigh.
The Prince Regent, having gone the round of the other rooms, now appears at the ballroom door, and stands looking at the dancers. Suddenly he turns, and gazes about with a ruffled face. He sees a tall, red-faced man near him, Lord Moira, one of his friends.
Prince Regent, damned hot here, Moira. Hottest of all for me. Moira, yes, it is warm, sir. Hence I do not dance. Prince Regent, H'M. What I meant was of another order. I spoke figuratively. Moira, oh indeed, sir. Prince Regent, she's here. I heard her voice. I'll swear I did. Moira, who, sir? Prince Regent, why, the Princess of Wales. Do you think I could mistake those beastly German PS and BS of hers? She asked to come, and was denied. But she's got here, I'll wager ye, through the chair door in Warwick Street, which I arranged for a few ladies whom I wished to come privately.
He looks about again, and moves till he is by a door which affords a peep up the grand staircase.
By God, Moira, I see two figures up there who shouldn't be here leaning over the balustrade of the gallery. Moira, two figures, sir. Whose are they?
Prince Regent, she is one. The Fitzherbert in Tother. Oh, I am almost sure it is. I would have welcomed her, but she bridled and said she wouldn't sit down at my table as a plain R.S. to please anybody. As I had sworn that on this occasion people should sit strictly according to their rank, I wouldn't give way. Why the devil did she come like this? Pon my soul, these women will be the death o' me.
Moira, looking cautiously up the stairs.
I can see nothing of her, sir, nor of the princess either. There is a crowd of idlers up there leaning over the banisters, and you may have mistaken some others for them.
Prince Regent, oh no. They have drawn back their heads. There have been such damned mistakes made in sending out the cards, that the biggest W in London might be here. She's watching Lady Hartford, that's what she's doing. For all their indifference, both of them are as jealous as two cats over the Tom.
Somebody whispers that a lady has fainted upstairs.
That's Maria, I'll swear. She's always doing it. Whenever I hear of some lady fainting about upon the furniture at my presence, and sending for a glass of water, I say to myself, there's Maria at it again, by God.
Spirit ironic, now let them hear their voices once again.
The Regent starts as he seems to hear from the stairs the tongues of the two ladies growing louder and nearer, the Princess pouring reproaches into one ear, and Mrs. Fitzherbert into the other.
Prince Regent, odd season, Moira, this will drive me mad. If men of blood must mate with only one of those dear damned deluders called the sex, why has heaven teased us with the taste for change? God, I begin to loathe the whole cursed show. How hot it is. Get me a glass of brandy, or I shall swoon off too. Now let's go out, and find some fresher air upon the lawn.
Exit the Prince Regent, with Lords Moira and Yarmouth. The band strikes up a bell cadarina, and a new figure is formed.
Spirit of the years, phantoms, ye strain your powers unduly here, making faint fancies as they were indeed the mighty will's firm work.
Spirit ironic, nay, father, nay, the wives prepared to hasten hitherward under the names of some gone down to death, who yet were bidden. Must they not by here?
Spirit of the years, there lie long leagues between a woman's word, he will, indeed she will, and acting on't. Whether those came or no, thy antics cease, and let the revel wear it out in peace.
Enter Spencer Percival the Prime Minister, a small, pale, grave-looking man, and an Under-Secretary of State, meeting.
Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.